Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's pray and agree together and believe God for some truth this morning in regards to understanding who our enemy is. And I have one main thought that I want to get across, but we got to get there first, which means you got to be hooked up with me. All right? You know, I can't do this on my own. People say, yeah, you need God. Yeah, I need you too. Okay? I need you to be awake and ready and alert and receptive. You want to say this with me? Just say it with me. Say, I am awake, alive, ready, open to receive from the Word of God. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Teach us this morning. Show me, open my eyes, reveal to me your word. I will receive it, accept it, obey it. I'm a doer of the word of God in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for everything you've already done. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, as your word goes forth, your word is light to us. Your word is a light and a lamp for our feet and our path. We're thankful for that light. Lord, your light destroys confusion, removes darkness, removes the blinders of the enemy. So in the name of Jesus, we use our authority. We are the body of Christ. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 2:6. So we use the power and authority that is given to us in the resurrection of Christ right now. And we believe you and declare that your word is truth, that it is a sword. And Father, that you are revealing our enemy to us so that we know him, we see how he operates and moves, and we can resist him and submit to your word and ward off his attacks, stand firm, and have him flee from us in Jesus' name. James chapter 4 verse 7. Hallelujah. James chapter 4 verse 7. We're learning how to live in victory over the enemy. There are four main pillars that we are building in our lives right now. The first one was knowing the Father. We started that. Obviously, we're never going to finish these things, but we can get a good understanding of them and cause our lives to increase in knowledge and then in action as we know more and more. The Lord will bring us back to these things. You know, we'll get to go over them again at some point. And when we do, let me put it to you like this. When we learn something in first grade, we may review it in second grade, but we get to learn new things in second grade, right? There's no sense in going to second grade until you pass first grade. And what people don't realize is it's the same way in the spirit. There is a lot of Christianity that is very vague. In other words, there's so much teaching that God is distant or that he's sovereign and in control of everything. I'm not saying he's not God, he's not sovereign, but he has put so much in our control, and unless we understand that, you really hinder yourself spiritually. And there are precise principles that you need to understand and know and then walk in order for spiritual growth to take place. There is no need to go to second grade if you're still in first grade. Or if you like this better, there's no need for you to get out of the Pee Wee League in football and go to the pros right away until you learn what you need to learn in the Pee Wee League. Okay? And so it's the same way in spiritual growth. And the thing of it is that God is super patient. He'll let you, we don't realize it, but we determine how fast we grow in a lot of ways. We really do. And you say, how does that happen? By the level of cooperation that we give him. You know, in the spirit, you can't see it. It would be weird if I was still in first grade. That would be weird, okay? If I came in here today and I said, you know, my first grade teacher taught us 2 plus 2. Okay, that would be odd. First of all, their desks and chairs are way too small for me. Okay? Way too small. But what we don't realize, because we grow naturally, and so it looks weird, what we don't realize is that spiritually, the same thing is happening. People are not growing like they should. And the very simple reason why is not because there's a lack of word. Not because there's a lack of teaching. There's a lack of doing. There's a lack of applying. There's a lack of persistence in your growth spiritually. It takes effort on your part. These are why we do some of the simple things like we do, like reading one chapter a day in the Bible. If you can't read one chapter a day in the Bible, then you're probably not far along in spiritual growth as you think you are. If you don't pray at all, except for when we say pray during the service, you're probably not as far along in spiritual growth as you think you are. And there are a lot of different aspects to spiritual growth, but what the main principle and thought that I'm trying to get to you here is that if you hear something and it just goes in one ear and out the other, or you forgot about it, or you didn't even try and apply it, you're not going to grow. You won't grow spiritually. It's just not going to happen. It's impossible. Because God needs your cooperation for growth, for strength, for increase. If you don't give it to him, then you won't grow. I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want to know him as good as Jesus knew him. That's what I want. And that takes effort. That means you have to set aside certain things maybe that you like to do just naturally to be able to take time to spend time with the Lord. Like, for instance, I like sleep. But I got up at 4 in the morning to prepare for today. Why? Because I want that more than I want to hit the snooze button again. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not telling you to get up at 4 in the morning, okay? Don't do that. If you can't do that, don't do that. I'm not saying that. But what if you got up 45 minutes earlier than you normally do and took time to read your chapter? What would that do for you? Or, okay, you say, I don't like to get up early. Okay, so you stay up late. Give the last hour and a half of your evening to the Lord instead of your favorite TV show. Thank you. I'm not telling you not to watch TV. I'm telling you that if you're going to grow and develop, you got to start giving away some of just the natural stuff that honestly isn't going to amount to anything. You know, when you get to heaven, do you think Jesus is really going to be like, I am so impressed you watched all the seasons of Duck Dynasty? I don't think he cares, okay? I'm thankful for Duck Dynasty in the sense that they preach the gospel. I've never seen one series, okay? I know, it's like sacrilegious, right? I wonder if they'll let me into heaven. Okay, is there duck hunting in heaven? I have no idea. But is that going to make a difference in your life when it comes to a tragedy that comes up or a problem that you have to face? What happens so many times? I mean, I've dealt with this for years. People ignore God and ignore God. Mike and I have worked with so many different guys through the years and tried to disciple them and teach them and lead them a specific direction in following the Lord. And what they do is, all they do is show up in our lives when tragedy hits. Do you want to know why? Because they know we're stable. And they think, they'll know what to do. Yeah, we know what to do, but you could have known what to do if you would have just done it what you were supposed to do back then. So let me put it to you like this. Save yourself the trouble. If you have an issue that you're facing in your life, find the promises of God in the Bible and start going over them. Don't wait for somebody else to read it for you. Read it for yourself. And as you do and apply it, God will make good. You don't need me to pray for you. I can agree with you. You know, the Catholic Church is a lot this way. I'm not going to attack the Catholics, okay? But they do a lot of everything is through the priest. You know what I mean? You confess your sins to the priest. Don't come confess your sins to me, okay? Jesus is the high priest. Go to him, all right? I don't want to know. I don't want to know, okay? I don't want to know about secret things. I don't want to know. In the sense of all those things, you know, you could say, oh, I lost my temper and I cussed out my boss. Well, talk to the Lord about it, okay? All right, talk to the Lord about it and let him fix it. And then go to your boss and apologize. That would be good. So, but spiritual growth, in order for it to take shape and to work in your life, Jesus is more than fire insurance. He is not just your Savior. He is your Lord. And whether he's your Lord or not is entirely up to you, because I believe there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that didn't really look like Christians while they were on earth, because they just didn't try very hard. They just thought, well, I don't want to go to hell. Who wants to go to hell? Not many people. That sounds like a terrible place, okay? But the people that are successful in this life are the ones that really get to know the Lord and follow his plan for their life, okay? So make that effort. I just want to encourage you to do that because it's vitally important. You know, when you wake up Sunday morning, don't just wake up and go, okay, we got to get to church. You know, some people, it's like a feat to get to church, you know. But instead of it just being that, just wake up in the morning and just say a quick prayer. Lord, I just thank you today is Sunday. I'm going to go to church. Lord, I believe you're going to teach me something today. I mean, just start using your faith a little bit at a time. Learn how to not, and Mike said it, but learn how to not respond out of your circumstance, your emotion, and just to declare, Lord, this is a good day. Something good is going to happen to me today. It already has, but more good's coming. You know? And when you do that, that's what faith is. It's making a decision not to just talk about and live in this world, but talk and live out of the promises of God. Okay? So, that being said, that was all free. There's no extra charge for any of that. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So, verse 7 clearly says that we're to submit to God and resist the devil, and that the devil will flee from us. The second pillar in these truths that we are developing in our lives is the one of knowing our enemy. We talked about knowing our Father, and it's important that we know the character of the Father, because then when anything contrary to that comes up, we can go, hey, that's the enemy. Okay? So anything that doesn't look like God, doesn't smell like God, doesn't act like God, talk like God, walk like God, is usually the devil. Okay? So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. We looked at Isaiah 14. If you want to write those down, you can. But Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14 talks about, these two scriptures talk about Satan in heaven, okay? Satan was not created the devil, okay? Satan is what they call a cherub. The Bible calls it a cherub, which is an angel, or an angel that covers. In other words, it's a winged angel, all right? And he covered, I don't know if he was on one side of the throne or the other. The Bible talks about some of those things. And if you ever want to study angels, it's pretty interesting. But he was an angel that was amongst what the Bible calls the fiery stones in heaven. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know that I'll know until I get to heaven when I see him. But he was in the throne room of God at some level and made some poor decisions. And we see those decisions in Ezekiel chapter 28. In verse number, let's start in verse number 15. I'm going to start in verse 14. You got to be careful when you back up. You can end up at Genesis 1:1. You were the anointed, this is talking about Satan. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. So God created him and established him. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. There's that verse right there. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were what? Created. He was what in his ways? Perfect in your ways till the day you were created. Then look at the next part of the verse. It says, till iniquity was what? Found in you. So this is where I get my belief, my understanding, that Satan was not created evil. God did not create Satan and then go, oops, look, I found some evil in there that I didn't know I put in. You know, that doesn't make any sense. The maker of something, the creator of something, creates it from the ground up. You know, if you have a watch maker, somebody who makes watches, they don't find things in the watch and go, huh, I didn't know I put that in there. They know they put that in there. Well, in this case, if you take that argument and apply it here, you see it. If he was created perfect, then there was no iniquity. So how did iniquity get there? Satan perverted what God had given him. We'll see that here in a little bit. Verse 16 says, by the abundance of your trading, which some of these words, I don't know why they use the word trading. To me, that sounds like, hey, I got a nickel. You want to trade for, you know, I got a bike. You want to trade for a scooter? That doesn't make any sense. But really what it is that he took what God had given him. The idea or the thought is he took what God had created him to be and started using it for things that he wasn't supposed to. You know, that happens all the time. Christians, humans, the planet, there are people that have taken what God has given them and are using it for things that they shouldn't be. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, God gave you the ability to make money, right? How many people are taking the money they have and using it for things that they shouldn't have? That's the idea or the thought there, okay? By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. So there's where sinning started. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing. We talked about how the Lord said he saw Satan fall as lightning. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub. There again, it references the fact that he was an angel from the midst of the fiery stones. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. In other words, Satan took what God gave him and decided to be God rather than taking the gifts that God had given him and worshiping the creator that made him. God didn't give you what he's given you just for you. He's given you ability and talents so that you can worship him. Okay, let's take, for instance, the worship team this morning. Okay, they could, how many people are using their amazing voices to worship Satan and just serve themselves? So a worship leader, which there are indications that Satan had something to do with worship in heaven. I don't understand all of that, but he had some sort of priestly duties. A worship leader is taking, not everybody can sing, you know. Some people are so bad they can't even carry a note in a bucket. You know what I mean? I mean, they're just horrible. But other people have a gift to be able to hear and produce a sound that is easy to follow and sounds good. But you could have used that for yourself, or along the way in your life, you submitted to God and said, I'm going to give back to you, God, because you gave to me. Now, that applies not to just a voice or some gift that we kind of, you know, put more emphasis towards that are more in front or show or they're more obvious. It applies to your hands. It applies to how you work on your job. You have the gift of being able to see, hear, walk, use your hands. You have all those things. All those gifts are given, and you can worship God with them all day long if you keep your motives pure. Right? See, and that's what Satan didn't do. He didn't keep his motives pure. Okay? Now hang with me here. I know I'm kind of reviewing, but hang with me, okay? So Satan was cast out, and he corrupted the wisdom that God had given him, okay? One of the words for corrupted that we would say is, talks about being perverse, okay? To corrupt something. And the word pervert simply means this. It means, now we think pervert, we think, oh, that guy's a pervert, or that, whatever. But that's not, I mean, that's true in that statement. But the actual definition of the word to pervert is to change something good so that it is no longer what it was or should be. To change something good so that it is no longer what it was or what it was intended to be. So Satan took the things that God had created in him, the things that God had given him as gifts, and decided to change them into something that they were not created to be. Now listen, that may sound simple, but that is between understanding who God is and understanding who Satan is, that is the pull in the earth, period, today. Okay? Think about it. I love Jesse Duplantis, all right? Guy's hilarious. He's just funny, and he gets people saved like crazy. So it's good. Do you know he got saved under Billy Graham's ministry? Pretty interesting, huh? Anyway, so, just side thought. Those are my own interests. All right, so, he made this statement. He was talking about this whole idea of, and this is common in our culture today, the whole homosexuality, lesbian, gays, or the I don't know what I am group. You know what that is? I'm a man, trapped in a woman's body. I'm a woman. See, this is not so weird to me. I've worked with men that are, I don't know how you do this, but men, when I was in Tulsa, I worked with men that became women. And I had to call them by their woman name. You know, it's an interesting thing to see a man built like a man. This is proven genetically, but baby boys are born with twice as much muscle as baby girls. Did you know that? Kind of interesting, huh? Guys, I know we want equality and all that stuff, okay? But guys are stronger than girls. I mean, generally speaking, okay? Just as a general rule. I know there's some women out there that are beefed, okay? That could probably beat me up. Okay, that's fine, okay? I understand. But just as a general rule, you're never going to find a women out-muscling men as a group. It's weird to see a man arms in a woman's shirt. Okay? But what took place? That person has taken on a thought. Some of you have pictures going through your minds here. That man has taken on a thought that is not in accordance with what God created him to be. He has taken a perverse course. She has taken a perverse course. I remember one time I was in Tulsa, and there's a lot of homosexuals in Tulsa. It's just a lot of them. Anyway, so I'm at a Waffle House, okay? And it's like 2 in the morning, and we're eating. And because that's what you do in college. You don't go to bed. You eat at 2 in the morning. So anyway, I'm eating in this Waffle House, and there's a guy there. He's a guy. And he was real loud and robust, you know, and we weren't witnessing to him or anything, but he was just real talkative, kind of a thin guy, but real effeminate, you know. And I'm like, okay. And so he said, yeah, when I die, I'm going to ask God why he put me in a man's body. And I'm thinking, dude, God didn't make the mistake. I mean, you think about that. You're assuming that the perfect one, how does that happen? How does that happen? There's like an assembly line, right? Yep. Women on this side, men on this side. Spirits accordingly, okay? It's early on a Monday morning. Michael hasn't had his coffee yet. Oh, we got a woman in a man's body. Bring him back. Gabriel says, just let him go. Just let him go. We'll sort it out in the end. Is that how that works? God's not making mistakes. What happened is, and this is, let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and we'll wrap it up there. What happened is that Satan tried to pervert heaven, but the problem was he wasn't stronger than God, so God cast him out. So what's the next best thing? Earth, God's creation. See, Satan screwed up a lot of things in God's plan in the sense that God never wanted us to have to deal with a Satan in the sense of, other than the fact that it gives us choice, but God's perfect plan was not that his children, because he always wanted a large family, that his children would be corrupted by sin. That's not his will. That's not his plan at all. Now, it does give us choice, and there are some things about this that honestly we're just not going to understand, and you just don't let your mind go there, okay? Because you could really, there are people that are just massively confused. And it is confusing if you try and understand like God does without being God. It's just not possible. There is enough information given to us for us to be able to walk by faith and understand what direction that we're going. But as far as details go, some details are not going to be worked out till we get to heaven. It's just the way it works. So, that being said, Satan could not pervert heaven. And honestly, Satan couldn't pervert earth unless man gave him the opportunity to. Okay? So, I put Satan in three categories in the scripture. Satan in heaven, of course he's not there anymore. Satan on the earth, and then there's the last category he doesn't want to talk about, but it's Satan in hell, because that's where he's going to end up, okay? But he's in there's a time period right now that we're in as God's creation where we live where he lives. We live where he lives. He is the prince of the power of the air, okay? Now, I could go into a lot of detail about demons, devils, Satan, what they look like, all that stuff. I'm not gonna, okay? If you want to study that out, you can. I can give you the scriptures. There are a lot of scriptures on Satan, okay? If you want to look that stuff up. But what I've found through the years is, and I find it interesting, and I do study some of those things, but what I've found through the years is that most people end up glorifying the mess that Satan is rather than understanding the victory that Christ has given us and that he's a defeated foe. And so I don't want to do that. I'm not going to glorify the devil in this. He's whooped. He's defeated. He's already been stripped. It's going to take one angel to tie him up. One. Now, he took a third of the angels. We have another two-thirds on our side, and it only takes one to take him out? Okay? All right? He's one weak, messed-up dude. All right? So, but we need to understand how he operates, and so that's what we're doing in Genesis chapter 3. You remember this, okay? And we'll close with this, but you remember this, that Satan came to earth, and one of the things that the Lord said about him is that he was full of violence. Do you remember that? And the word violence means, in if you look it up in Vine's expository dictionary, which I know everybody has an expository dictionary in here, but it's the Old Testament word, and it basically means this, the disruption of divinely established order. Okay? Satan, if you want to boil him down to one thing, he wants to disrupt God, divine, God's order. That's what he tried to do in heaven, but he couldn't do it. Now, he did it here on earth, and so that's why you see things in the state that they are. That's why you have to fight off thoughts of depression or worry or you name it. That's why there's sickness in the earth. It's a disruption in the divine order of things is all it is. Now, you look, if you just think in those terms only, look at what Jesus did when he came to earth. He put everything back in order. Think about the man with the withered hand. What did he say? You know, people say, I've been in churches, and this is new in this era, but it hasn't been in years past, but they talk about, you know, we don't want to embarrass anybody, and, you know, so they're real sensitive to everybody's feelings and emotions, which is really common in our culture, which there's some good there, but it can go too far, okay? But I look at Jesus. He's in the group of a bunch of religious leaders, and they all want him to go under, Jesus, and there's a man there with a crippled hand. Do you know what Jesus has him do? Stand up in the middle of all of them. And then he has him stand in the middle of all of them and just goes on a teaching dissertation to rebuke the Jews that were there. Do you think the guy might have been fighting feelings of embarrassment? He's standing in the middle of a group of religious leaders, and Jesus has him stand up. He's probably thinking, ooh, I could get healed. And then Jesus just goes into a whole teaching and just makes him stand there. What if the guy would have got embarrassed and sat down? He might have missed his healing. Just saying. People have this idea about God that, oh, God, you know, he's just kind of cool, man, you know? He's still God, though. He loves you, but he does want our obedience. So anyway, but he has him stretch out his hand. What is a withered hand? It's crippled, right? But look at the definition of the disruption of the divinely established order of things. Did God create the hand crippled? No. It's a disruption. What did Jesus come and do? He restored it. See that? Satan, boy, that's a good truth. If you just hang on to that for the rest of the week, anything that is abnormal, you go, get in order in Jesus' name. Because you are in a battle, a faith fight with the enemy. Do you see that? It is a disruption, and you can read it in Acts 10, but it talks about how Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. They were oppressed of what? I wonder if that word oppression has to do with, if you look it up, if it has to do with, of course, oppression, we understand that, but I wonder if the roots of it and different things have to do with like a deformation, something that is out of order, something that is not of God. Everybody agrees that there's healing in heaven, that there's no sickness. How come people don't agree that God wants healing on earth? I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not ignorant. I understand there's sickness on the earth. I've been affected. I know there's cancer in the earth. On cancer. I understand that. People are like, you know, I've had family members of mine die of cancer. Well, or something. Okay? I don't know if it's the treatment or the cancer. But I also know, including myself, I've been healed multiple times. Now, I've never had cancer, okay? I'm not believing for cancer, but I'm not going to live in fear of it. That's a disruption in the divine order of things. And unless we understand Satan and God, our spiritual growth will be thwarted on so many levels. On so many levels. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. You guys are listening really good, thank you. It says this, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Isn't that interesting, the first thing they noticed? What? You got no clothes on. Hurry up, get some fig leaves. Okay, so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Okay, so Satan tried to cause disruption in heaven and got kicked out. Okay? Satan then was thrown to earth. Now what is Satan trying to disrupt? Did God warn Adam and Eve about Satan? Genesis 1:28. Let's go there. This is the thought that I want you to get this morning. Genesis 1:28 says, "Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and what? Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Did a snake move on the earth? Did they have authority over it? Do you know what the word subdue means? It means to subjugate. It means to tread on. It means to put down. It doesn't mean like, no, go away. No, stop it, no. It means you grab it and you throw it. Does that make sense? So God told them to subdue the earth. Why? Are Adam and Eve dumb? Come on. Are Adam and Eve dumb? They're genius. They're smarter than we were, or are. At that time they were. We've been living in sin for how long? Under the curse for how long? They were in the perfection of God. There was nothing to hinder their learning process. Nothing. There was no thought of, you think God was like, "Dude, Adam, that was dumb. How dumb are you?" They never had that conversation. He was created in the image of God. When he looked at himself, he went, "Whoa, we're the same." You know? I mean, he didn't have the omniscience and the omnipresence of God and all those things, but he was still very bright and intelligent. God brought him all the animals, and Adam had enough intelligence to look at it and go, "Giraffe, zebra." You know what I mean? This one, duck-billed platypus. Why? Seriously, it's like God ran out. "We got spare parts, God. What do we got? We got half a beaver, a couple of duck bills. Let's throw this thing together and see what we come up with." I mean, seriously. Huh. Anyway, I got off my train of thought here. Got to get back on. I mean, he was genius. He was smart. So he knew what this meant. It means to put down. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Satan come in swinging? Did Satan come into the garden like you'd picture somebody breaking into a house? No. What did Satan do? He rung the doorbell. Ding dong. And then he started talking. Now, look at this, okay? A disruption in the divine order of things. Think now. A disruption in the divine order of things. To pervert. Satan took what he was created to be and perverted it. And now he couldn't pervert heaven. He couldn't take over heaven. So what's the next best thing? You and me. The creation. So what did he do? Did he come in and say, Adam, I'm going to beat you up. Give me all your... Did he take a pistol out? No. None of that. He brings words. He brings thoughts. He brings suggestions. What are the thoughts and suggestions? You won't really die. Okay, now watch. God said what? Don't eat of this tree, because when you do, you'll what? You'll die. What does Satan say? No, you're not going to die. Now watch. Verse 4, Genesis 3, 4, it says, Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, there is some truth there, but there are certain things you just don't want to know, and evil is one of them. You don't want to know. Why do you want to know that? Why do you want to know death? I don't want to know death. I want to know life. Now, this is, if we get this is the crux of everything that Satan does. And it is not by force, it's by suggestion. Why do you think there's riots? What about all these race riots that are going on? Why do you think they are? A disruption in the divine order of things. If the truth was actually presented by the two groups that are fighting, and people actually looked at it and went, oh, that's truth, there would be no riots. There wouldn't be any. Because people would go, oh, I guess we're wrong. But there's something that is constantly at work in the earth, and Adam and Eve let it in. And it's a perverseness. It's a perverseness. It's something. Now, the cure for the perverseness for us and for everybody is the word. Because it's truth. It gives you stability. This is how it all started. So he says, you're not going to surely die. Now, verse 6, I want you to see this. How do I know that Adam and Eve, or that Eve, specifically in this case, took the lie, started thinking about it? Look at verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, did God say that the tree was desirable to make one wise? What did God say? You eat it? You die. Oh, no. See, do you see what's happening? Satan is in her mind going, twist. It's not this way, it's this way. What? You see this? I'm telling you. Satan will go, you're not going to live out your days. And you'll go, he will satisfy me with long life. And the perverseness just goes, whoop, there it is. There we go. Keep straight. Cancer takes out. You have people in your family had cancer. No. By his stripes, I was healed, and the perverseness goes out. He didn't hit him. He didn't put a disease on him. He didn't come at him and go, and just a cloud of depression just hit him. He changed the way he thought. He changed the way Eve thought. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know where I'm going, Mike? I know you know where I'm going. He could preach it. He could preach it for me. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's this simple. I mean, this is how Satan gets into everything. He just changes your view of it. You know how divorce happens? Change of view. That's how it happens. It twists. Well, it's just like the Common Core thing. that we deal with the schools and stuff, with our kids. In the health classes, they want to teach kindergartners that they might not be a boy. Dude, it's simple. Look at the equipment. You're a boy. If you got certain equipment, you're a boy. If you got certain other equipment, you're a girl. It's that simple. Glory in who you are. I would never make a decent woman. I'd make a decent circus woman because I'd be bearded. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Just glory in who you are. If you're a woman, you know, do everything that a woman does. Smell like a flower. Curl your hair. I don't even know why a guy would want to be a woman. What, all that work? I got to get up 9 hours early? Man, I'd just rather shave my head and shave my face every once in a while. We're good. Put on some deodorant. You're good. Too much work, man. But what is that? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to do in the culture? Pervert it. And the thing is, it's like I read this article. I don't know why I'm on this. Somebody must need it on the internet. I read this article that the Billings Gazette did on the LGBT group for Billings. And they did this whole article on this girl that became a boy. Or, well, it doesn't matter. We'll just say it was a girl that became a boy. Went through the whole change. Do you know how, suicidal this girl was and is? Because she started taking hormone drugs so that, you know, she could alter her body and look more like a man. And all these different things. Listen, she was in and out of the psych ward over and over and over. Is that God? And you know what she's missing? The presence and the glory of God that he created her to be in being a woman. She has no peace. She's constantly in unrest, in and out of a psych ward. When this starts opening up and we really see what God's doing here, we are going to see some massive deliverance. Because there is such perversion in some people that they're just possessed with the enemy. That's why you never want to follow that track. Because it just leads to more and more darkness. You have people scrambling, trying to find joy. Maybe it's at the bottom of this bottle. If I take all this medication, or if I do this drug. And they're constant. Why? They're not glorying in what God has created them to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. So what was the main thing that Satan did? Satan changed their thought, their perception. What did Paul say about spiritual warfare in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? He said this, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you, verse 1, you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lonely, skip all the way down to verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now listen to me. That word captivity carries the same meaning as what God told Adam and Eve to subdue. Captivity means to subjugate. It means to put down. So, has much changed from Genesis 1 to 2 Corinthians 10? Not much has changed. You start to understand this, you start to understand why the enemy wants positions of authority in the earth. I'm talking about presidencies, leaders over nations. Why does he want them? Because he can project his thoughts through that leadership, what he wants. The scripture actually says in the Old Testament that there are laws that were formed in hell. There are laws, like laws of the land, that were formed in hell and then brought to earth and put into effect. What's slavery? What's human trafficking? That was a rule, a law, a mode of operation that was formed in hell, and then man, you know, Jesus said this. Wow, I didn't even think of this. Jesus said this. He said, there's going to be evil that comes on the earth, but what? Woe to the man that it comes through. You think about that. I mean, that very thought of what he has done, the enemy, it infects everything in this earth. You say, why is this so important? You know God, you know your enemy, you can choose. I choose God. And not just choose like, you know, okay, I'm not going to cuss this week. Okay? That's good. I mean, if that's a goal, if that's where you're at, that's good. You should start there. I had to start there. It took me a little bit when I first got saved. Why? I was used to saying other things. It takes a little time, especially if you get, you know, frustrated or mad. Now I work on things like, you know, not breaking the thing that I'm working on. This wrench, man, you know, it starts out real nice. And, you know, I'm working on something, and then it starts not doing what I want it to. The patience of the Lord. But each little thing, if it's contrary to God's character, you'll be able to see it as we continue the study. You go, ah, Satan, I know that. Nope, I'm not going that way. You'll have a thought. Well, your husband didn't talk very nice to you. Then you have a thought. Well, I'm not going to talk nice to him. Hello? Go back to Genesis 3. What is that? The enemy's working his way in. You see that? I mean, that seems simple, but the correct word is subtle. I'm not going to love that person. I've been cussed out because I work construction. I've had contractors, I mean, lay into me. I mean, like I put the phone away and all you can hear is F, 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 okay? Because I didn't do what they wanted me to do or didn't show up on a job when they thought I was going to be there. Now I have a choice. Do I retaliate? What's my natural inclination right away? I got a bat. I know what I used to do, but what do I do now? I got a buddy of mine. We got saved at the same time. Somebody did something to him. So him and his buddy, which was another buddy of mine, took a bat to his car, this guy's truck. It was a nice truck too. Not so much after they got done. Is that what I do now? No. What do I do? Forgive them, let it go. Yeah, but nobody has the, well, I'm not saying I have to stand there and listen to it. I can walk away, but I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I have a new nature. It's God's nature. And the other side of it is, I need to pray for them. And then the other side of it is, if they need judgment, God knows how. You know what I mean? He knows how. You don't want to get in God's wheelhouse of judgment. You don't ever want to get there. I mean, Paul said, we know the terror of God. He knew the grace of God, but he knew the terror of God. And he is a consuming fire. He is. But he'll take care of you. So anyway, this week, think about it as you go through your week. Look for it as you read your chapter on Monday. Where did the enemy try and get his way in? And watch how Jesus dealt with the enemy. Because the enemy is working through so, and we may get into this, but working through so, I mean, you think about Peter told Jesus, no, you don't have to go to the cross. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. The enemy's working through people. The enemy got in a bunch of pigs. They all drowned, but he did get in the pigs. I mean, he is constantly working. And the more our culture gives to his way of doing things, the more he's able to manifest in the earth. Mark it down. It's true. I've noticed it in the Old Testament, studying through some of these things. The more sexually perverse a culture gets, the more access the devil has in manifestation. I'm telling you. Think about it. Why make a law that a man or a woman shouldn't sleep with an animal? Why have that in the law? I know, we go, ugh. But you know how many years ago people thought that about homosexuality? And now it's like, oh, yeah, that's a homosexual, yeah. That's their moms and their dads. That's their dads. Oh, it's subtle, but it's always happening. It doesn't mean it has to take over, or for us. It doesn't mean it has to take over for us. We walk in the light. Make sense? Good. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Bless the people as they go. Keep them protected, Lord. I know it's icy and slick out there, but you watch over us and your angels encamp round about us. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for these truths that you've given us. They're so good, and we know they're from you. They're not from us, and we're thankful for them, and we're just open to more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.